This morning I have two passages before me, Old Testament, New Testament, and we're going to start out in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and we're going to go to Acts, the 4th chapter, a few scriptures in Acts. So we're going to start out in Chronicles, 7th chapter, 2 Chronicles, 7th chapter. You know, last night when we got home, I was really tired and depleted after preaching the service yesterday. And I was down in my office and just a thought, a prayer, Lord, you got to help me, give me something. And the Lord began to quicken these scriptures to my heart. And I thank him for it. In this 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, it's the dedication of the temple that Solomon built. And we're going to read the first three verses of the 7th chapter. The theme of my message this morning is a church on fire. It says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." Oh, that we would see that here. Praise God. "And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever.'" Praise the Lord. I want to pause here for a moment. The Old Testament is showing us metaphorically how God wants to operate in the church. It says when he was done praying, the fire came down and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. The fire came down, and it is to me a type of our hearts are the sacrifice. Our hearts we place on the altar. And we got done praying, the fire came down and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the Lord wants to come down with his fire and touch our hearts and consume our hearts with his presence and his power. In Matthew, John said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Praise God. Oh, Lord, it's a sad experience. And perhaps every one of us have been to a church that the service was dead. No fire. Perhaps even sometimes here. No fire. Someone will stand to sing, but you can see that there's no anointing in it, no presence of the Lord. Jesus threatened the church in Ephesus in Revelation. He says he would remove their candlesticks if they didn't repent. The focus is not on what was past, because the past, if we focus on the past, we're going to ruin the present and destroy the future. And it's wonderful to remember the past. Thank God for past revivals. Thank God for his presence. Thank God for what formed us. But Lord, we need your presence today. We need your power today. We need the fire today, my brother and sister. I don't want to just relive the past, as beautiful it is, precious memories. Thank God. A revival in 1961, what a time. Couldn't wait to get to church. Couldn't wait to get here, because who was going to get baptized? Who was going to receive the Holy Ghost? How was God going to move in such a marvelous way? And the subsequent revivals that came later, but it's dwindled down. And I say, oh Lord, we want to be a church on fire, praise God. We want to be a church that was just full of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. We want new souls. We want new souls. We want the lost to come in. But what are they coming to? Spurgeon, the great preacher, said to put new converts into most churches is like putting live chicks under a dead hen. In Genesis, we know the story of Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham to take his son Isaac to the mountain to become the sacrifice. And they arrived at the location. Isaac still didn't know he was going to be the sacrifice. But it came to the time, and Isaac knew there had to be three things: the sacrifice, the wood, and the fire. And Isaac, in the seventh verse, says in 22nd chapter, Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?" Some 4,000 years later today, we can invert that. We have the wood, metaphorically, the cross of Christ. We have the lamb, Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb. But where is the fire? Where is the fire, my brother and sister? Where is the fire? Nothing more pathetic than a lethargic, drowsy church. That's not how God saw it. That's not how God showed us in the Old Testament. And in the reality in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost, what happened when the church was born? It said cloven tongues of fire came down from heaven and sat on each and every one of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He showed us this is how I want to operate. This is how the church should be. Praise God. This is what God desires. In Hebrews, the last verse of chapter 12, it said, "Our God is a consuming fire." Our God is a consuming fire. Praise the Lord. So what are the characteristics of a church on fire? Turn with me to Acts 4. In the fourth chapter, a church on fire is endued with power. Look at the eighth verse of chapter 4. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." The preacher, the pastor, full of the Holy Ghost. Lord, let us be full as pastors. Let us be full of the Holy Ghost. In verse 31, we read, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Oh, praise the Lord. We need the power of God to fulfill his purpose. We need his power alone. Oh, praise God. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, Paul wrote, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith and my faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He wasn't depending on wisdom, flamboyant sermons, beautiful scriptures, PowerPoint. He wasn't depending on any of that, but the anointing power of the Holy Spirit is enough to convert the heart, to touch the soul, praise God, to reach the very core of our being and begin to transform us. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, consume us with the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, fire is used as a metaphor for the Spirit of God. He baptized you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But you see, fire purifies. It cleanses. It takes away all the dross Fire prepares, just like as in food, it makes it tasteful and pleasant us to each other. Fire cheers. When we're caught in the cold grip of despair and discouragement, the fire of the Holy Ghost begins to warm us. The Spirit of God moves upon our heart and says, wait a minute, I'm in control here. I'll make a way where there is no way, praise the Lord. The Spirit of God, the fire softens. The Holy Spirit softens the heart and causes sinners to repent. It's not learning, it's not education, it's revelation. God has to speak to our hearts. He has to come and touch us, praise God, and break down the stony heart and all the ideas and thoughts. Oh, God, help us. Fire unites. Just like uniting different metals, put it in the fire. The Holy Spirit brings unity to the people of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God, so much of the fire that we need. The fire empowers. What Jesus told us before he ascended, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, praise God, praise God. Lord, a church on fire will fast and pray. It will see a need to end, earnestly seeking God with a whole heart. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Characteristic of a church on fire is a church that prays and fasts. Praise God. Not satisfied with where we are. Not satisfied with what God is doing. Not satisfied just to rest on our laurels, but to say, oh Lord, there's more. Praise God. And reward is promised. In Matthew, we read, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Moses, when he received the Ten Commandments, we read in Exodus, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Elijah received direction from the Lord in 1 Kings. It says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went into the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto the Horeb, the Mount of God. Hezekiah, he received healing for his body. In 2 Kings, we read, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. In another scripture down, the Lord heard his cry. In Hezekiah prays, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And God turned Isaiah back to Hezekiah, and he said, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. And on the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Oh, praise God. When we're on fire for God, there's a searching, there's a reaching out to him in fasting and prayer. Not satisfied with our spiritual condition. We're so busy and get so distracted in life sometimes, and we're just going about our business, and meanwhile time is going by, and God's saying, no, this is not. I want my church to be on fire. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost to be in the church, praise God. I want it to consume all the things that it needs. A church on fire going to be uncomfortable with the world. Sometimes I don't know, are we not comfortable and we can attend a church service time and time again and not be stirred by the Word of God? How can we hear the message and not be stirred by the Word of God? What is it that is lacking? What is it that God is talking to us, telling us this morning? Oh, let's hear His Word. Lord, stir our hearts this morning. John wrote in his epistle, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him," and that is so true. You can't serve two masters. It's one or the other. Where is your heart? Where is your love? A church on fire will be uncomfortable in the world. That fire will turn away the things of this world, will discourage us. Paul wrote to Timothy in the 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Yes, we have to live in this world. We have responsibilities. We have to raise a family, earn a living. There are things that we have to do. But we are not of this world. We're different. We've been made holy, separated. God has brought us out. We do the things we have to do. But oh Lord, help us. Help us to dedicate and consecrate our lives to You. In Ephesians we read, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Oh, stay circumspect, walk circumspectly. Because the enemy has traps and snares out there to lure you in, to draw you close, and it seems so logical, and it seems so good, and it seems so easy, and there's nothing wrong with this, and there's nothing wrong with that. Check yourself, my brother and sister. Lord, what is it? Am I where You want me to be? Praise God. Is the fire burning in my soul? Do you feel the Holy Spirit like the day you got baptized? And maybe you're not baptized yet. My brother and sister, it's time to seek the baptism. It's time to seek the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God. A church on fire will care for souls. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, if you remember in Matthew 23rd chapter. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones all those God sends to her. How often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me." The early church was on fire. In Mark, we read, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." The church on fire accomplishes great things for the Lord. Without the Holy Spirit, without the fire of God that burns in our hearts, it's just we're not going to be successful. Oh, we may have procedures and we may have, you know, different things and groups and get-togethers and all that, and that's all good. But we're talking about something that transforms the heart, something that speaks to us inside, something that speaks to the inner man, something that changes our outlook, changes our life. Praise God. A transformation by the Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God. Daniel wrote, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Do we know our God this morning? Do we know our God this morning, or just on Sunday morning or Sunday night? It's to know our God. Praise God. Jesus said in John's gospel when he had them sequestered, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And listen to this, and greater works shall he do than these, because I go unto my Father." As I read a few moments ago, Paul wrote to Corinthians, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's power, man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And I love what Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Oh, Lord, let the signs follow the church this morning. Let the signs be in operation in the church. Oh, praise God. The power of God is manifested in many ways to his glory and healings, gifts of the Spirit and miracles. And we've seen and heard many things that God has done. A church on fire will contend for all the blessings of God. Not be satisfied with a powerless service. If you go home discouraged, oh, the service was dry. First thing you have to ask, what was my part in it? Did I bring the fire? Or was I a spectator and wanting somebody to fire me up? Many times I think we sit as spectators and God says, oh no, you got to get involved. You got to come prepared. You got to bring your fire. Oh, praise God. Not be satisfied with the status quo. When's the last time somebody got baptized with the Holy Ghost? Been a long time. A church that believes in the power and the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when's the last time? Do we not believe it's necessary? Do we not believe it's needed? Do we not believe it's the operation? It's what drives the church. Do we not believe that? Oh, God, help us. I don't want to be in a dead, dry church. I want the fire of God to burn, praise God. There's too much that he wants to do, and there's too much he's done already. There'll be an ongoing spirit of revival. Oh, Lord. Lord, would you help us this morning? We sang a few services ago, hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Stir each heart. Let the fire begin to burn in our soul. Oh, Lord, I want you. I need you. I remember when we began praying for the Holy Ghost when our founding pastor called for prayer meetings in 1961. It was in the fall. And he says, I feel to have prayer meetings. And it wasn't like we do on Saturday morning and we come together in intercessory prayer, but it was pray specifically for the Holy Spirit baptism. And we gathered. And lo and behold, the Spirit of God began to move and fall. And I believe it was the first night or second night, whatever it was, six sisters got baptized with the Holy Ghost. It looked like it went right down the row. They were all praying next to each other. And one by one, by one, by one, by one, they got the Holy Spirit power. The Lord filled them with the Holy Ghost. And it stirred a jealousy within our hearts. Oh God, me too. I want it too. I need it. We saw what God did. Oh, praise the Lord. An ongoing spirit of revival. Oh, Father, help us. Praise God. In chapter 4, verse 30, they prayed. This was the disciples, Peter and John, just came from the council and they were warned, they were threatened, don't preach this name of Jesus. They went back to that small group where they were having a prayer meeting. And in this prayer, in the 30th verse, he says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. And what stood out to me, and when they had prayed, and when they had prayed, praise God, and when they had prayed, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost moved, hallelujah. Oh Lord, help us. When people are on fire, souls will be saved. On the day of Pentecost, how many thousands came to the Lord? Worship services will be inspiring. People will begin to sing. And not just hold a book and look, but they'll sing. Praise God. Just as the Lord reached out in the mission field in those days, and how he empowered Paul and Peter and John. You read in the Acts the things that exploits that they did. God, the Holy Spirit led them and guided and directed them to go here and go there. And souls came to the knowledge of Christ. And Stephen, the first deacon of the church, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and that Ethiopian eunuch, he says, go join yourself to that chariot. And he was a man of great power. He was the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia, and he was reading Isaiah, and then Stephen asked him, well, do you understand what you're reading? No, I don't understand. Can somebody explain it? And in the short course of that chariot ride, he began to explain, and he says, can anything hinder me from being baptized in water? The Lord just convicted him that quick. That simple. Opened his heart. Spirit of God touched him. And they stopped the chariot. They got off and he baptized him in water, and the Spirit took Stephen somewhere else. Oh Lord. We want people to reach. We want to reach other people. We have loved ones. Family, folks at work, school, we come in contact with. Oh Lord. Lord, help us. Help us. In the 24th chapter of this, I'm impressed with their unity. In the 24th verse, it says of this fourth chapter, and when they heard that, when Peter and John came back, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, thou hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the 32nd verse, we read, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought to of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They were marching in lockstep, arm in arm in the Spirit. One desire, one goal. Holy Spirit, fire, help us, direct us, lead us, encourage us, baptize, reach to the lost. Oh, praise God. Is it possible? Can God do that for us? A church on fire. I want to be a church on fire, don't you? I'm tired of the status quo. Thank God for the blessings. Thank God for the healings. Thank God for what he's done. I'm not minimizing one little bit. I'm not minimizing how God has brought us this far, how he sustains us every day. But oh, there's more, my brother and sister. There's so much more. We've only scratched the surface. When he says, greater things shall you do than this, you know, that doesn't even compute for most people. Like, well, I'm not qualified. I can't. I'm not able. I'm not. I can't. Isn't that our first thought? Well, it's the pastor. It's the deacons. It's the Sunday school teacher. It's somebody else. No, it's you. It's me. The fire of God burns in each and every heart. Praise God. In Corinthians, Paul talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's the 12th or the 14th chapter he talks about. He says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's not just to the pastor, the assistants, the deacons. It's to every man, every woman, praise God. Let him use you for his kingdom. Become part of the army of God. Become full of the fire of God. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Isn't it something to get excited about? With all that's going on in this world, oh, I want something that's real. And here it is. God says, I've got the real thing for you. I've got the anointing power. I've got something that is so beautiful and so strong and so powerful. Jesus said, I'll send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Can you imagine? Can you just begin to fathom how magnificent, how wonderful that is? That he already saw ahead, that he knew the testing that we were going to go through. He knew the attacks of the enemy. He knew how tough it is to live this life. Not only just then, but they were, you know, in physical danger, but in the days in which we live, in the spiritual danger. He says, I'll give you another comforter. One who will guide you and lead you and help you all the way to glory. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to close right here. Sisters, would you come forward? 31st verse, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I would so love to see that and desire to see that. And I want you to be a part of it. I want God to bless us. I'm tired of the status quo. I'm tired of mechanical worship. Oh, Father, stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost. Stir it up in us, oh God. You have privileged us. You have blessed us, Lord, with your presence and your revelation, your understanding. We don't deserve where we are right now, but thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this very point. And we want to share it with the world. We want to share it with our loved ones. We want everyone to participate and be blessed. Praise God. God's in the blessing business. He's in the healing business. He's in the saving business, my brother and sister. But he needs workers. He needs us, the church. He needs us. Possessors of the Holy Spirit to operate in that presence, in that spirit. Praise God. I marvel when we read in Thessalonians talking about the end days. Something, I don't remember the exact words, but let me just paraphrase it. He says, in the last days, he who hinders will be taken out of the way. Talking about evil is going to be turned loose. He who hinders is going to be taken out of the way. Was he talking about the Holy Spirit? Not directly. Who hinders? Who hinders the evil in this world? Who hinders Satan? The Holy Spirit. How does he do it? How does he do it? Through the church. Through you and me, not this organization building. No, through the individuals, the body of Christ. That's how he hinders. The operation of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, that's who hinders. God says, oh, church, come on. Wake up, embrace what I have for you. Embrace my goodness, my power. Be delivered. Be set free. Oh, halamo shanamahanda hayahala. Oh, my God, help us this morning. We need a mighty movement of the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, take away the starch. Take away the reticence. to openly praise your name. You know, we were taught so long that raising hands and getting emotional is kind of the flesh. It's not. God uses our emotions. Yeah, there is the operation of the flesh, but that's not what's going on. Don't be afraid to praise him. Don't be afraid to worship him. God wasn't ashamed. Jesus wasn't ashamed to go to the cross and be crucified and mercilessly beaten. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed to confront the authorities. And we're so timid sometimes to even say, praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us. I'm not talking about anarchy or running wild. I'm talking about allowing the Spirit of God to move on us. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you this morning. We sang, Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. Beautiful words to sing, but more importantly, to exhibit it in our lives. How do we do that? By allowing the fire of God to burn in us. Hallelujah. Stir our hearts. Are you doing what you can do for Christ? Can we do more? Yes, every one of us can say, yes, we can do more. And God's not looking for our servitude. He's looking for our surrender this morning. Our surrender to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will lead you in the things that you need to do. The Spirit of God will bless. Praise the Lord. When Solomon got done praying, the fire fell and consumed the sacrifices and the altar and the burnt offering on the altar. It consumed it. The presence of God filled that temple. The priests couldn't go in because the power of God were so strong, they were paralyzed. That's a beautiful story. I would like to be a reality in this house. Lord, come with your power. Come with your power, Lord, and just touch our hearts. Oh, my God. I want reality. I love to read about it. I want to experience it. I want to feel it. I want to live in it. Well, I went to church this morning, hour and a half, and yeah, it was good singing, good message, and you know, well, what's for lunch? No, I want something. I want a life-changing experience every time I come. I want the Holy Ghost to open me up and pour me out and fill me again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And God wants to do it. He wants to do it. Praise his name. As if Jesus is knocking on the door. Knocking on our door, knocking on the doors of the church. Let me in, please. Let me in, let me in. I want to come in. Hallelujah. Oh, Lamahashanamandiahaya. Let him in this morning. Let him in. Don't walk away from this service and forget about the message. Don't walk away. I pray the Holy Spirit trouble you. I pray the Holy Spirit come after you day and night until you surrender. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I mean that in the sweetest way I possibly can. Holy Spirit, come and dwell. Praise his name. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May his name be praised.